Hi there, this is Jonathan Winters, Ohio's answer to Mount Rushmore. Thanks for dropping in to Winter's Wonderland. We have some unusual friends with us in the studio this afternoon, this evening, whatever time it is. I don't know, the hands on the Mickey Mouse fell off. There's a whole division of the little people. Not one of them over 6 inches tall. Looks like they're trying to say something. What is it, gang? Well, come on, we've got a show to do. Shape up or we'll ship you all back to the funny farm. Here's Barney Blautstiff, the poet laureate of the Beatnik Bunch. You have a line for us, Barney?
Twinkle, twinkle, twinkle star, twinkle, twinkle, twinkle far. When I say twinkle, twinkle star, you better.
On the show today, we'll meet Farley Finlater and his project. We'll move into the world of sports with Rick Randell. And then we'll pick up our roving reporter, Forrest Woods, somewhere in America. First, this message.
Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips. It's not polite to smack your lips, but you can't help it with Fritos, corn chips. Munch, munch, munch a bunch of Fritos, corn chips.
We have a rather interesting guest with us in the studio tonight, a part of our People and Their Projects series. I should like to introduce you to Mr. Farley Finlater. Mr. Finlater, suppose you tell our audience about your invention.
I've invented an automatic bed ejector, Mr. Winters.
How long have you been working on this?
11 years.
And in the past 11 years, how many bed ejectors have you made?
My plant has turned out over 2,000 bed ejectors in the past 11 years.
And how many have you sold?
2. We're listed on the books in Washington as a non-profit organization. It just worked out that way. We didn't plan it. We also have a nepotism rap to beat.
What's that?
The 2 we sold were to my sister and her 3rd child by a former marriage.
All right. Suppose you explain how your bed ejector works. Maybe your appearance here will help you increase your sales.
I doubt it. I only got one other relative left.
You go ahead and explain it anyway, sir.
The Finlater bed ejector is a metal frame device. It weighs about 400 pounds and it fits right on top of your mattress.
Does that make sleeping rather uncomfortable?
I didn't say it was perfected, did I?
I'm sorry, go on, sir.
At a given time, it springs forward and ejects you right out of bed. I've been ejected so many times, I'm nervous, thereby making obsolete such things as an alarm clocks and the like.
How far does it eject you?
It can be regulated. That's one of its features. The record eject was reached in a test trial last November. A man at the Jimmy Smith Hotel in Rochester set his bed ejector on high for 8 a.m. At 7:59 a.m., he was asleep in his room at the Jimmy Smith Hotel. At 8:01, he was brushing his teeth in a bathroom at the Wellington Hotel across the street. He didn't buy an ejector.
I can't understand that. What are some of the other features, sir?
You can aim the bed ejector so that it will eject you into practically any room in the house. It can snap you into the breakfast room, the clothes closet, any room at all, depending on your morning schedule.
What are some of the pitfalls?
A low ceiling is one big problem because it ejects you up and away. If there's a low ceiling, it's always possible you'll hit the ceiling and bounce back and then be ejected again. As a result, you could be ejected to death.
Well, it's not for thin-skinned people, I take it.
No, it certainly isn't.
I notice you brought one of your bed ejectors with you. You have it set up over there at the far corner of the studio, right?
Yes, I do, and now I'll climb into it.
Mr. Finlater is stretching out on the steel bed ejector. He looks rather uncomfortable. Could you aim it toward the window, please?
Like this?
Fine. Now I think we're about ready to hear it in action. I'll count down for it. Let's see. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1... I guess it's quicker than the stairs. Well, this has been another in our series, People and Their Projects. Poor devil. And now it's time for the world of sports with Rick Randell. Good old Rick Randell is out there in warm and sunny Phoenix, Arizona. And that, of course, as I think most of us baseball fans know, is the home of, or rather the training ground, certainly, of the San Francisco Giants. Come in, Rick.
Hi, everybody. This is Rick Randell. It certainly is a beautiful day out here. We've had a bit of a hailstorm, and an unusual thing took place this afternoon. It was hailing horned toads. A lot of souvenirs for the boys and girls and the baseball players and their wives and such. I tell you, it's a wonderful game. The score today, 9-5 in favor of San Francisco. And the game is just about over now. They've gone about 14 innings. I've been bored stiff. However, it's my job to look alive, you know, and give you a bright picture. Well, let's take this opportunity to talk to one of the all-time greats, for my money, Chick Dorser. Dorser. What is that, Bob? Chick Dorser. Dorser. D-O-R-S-E-R. From Bloomington, Indiana. Chick, how do you think, as one of the all-time great giant pitchers of all time, how do you think the San Francisco Giants shape up to you this year?
I don't know. It's hard to say. Last year, they just come apart. This year, I hope they kind of pull themselves back together. It's an unusual young group of boys. A lot of power needed, and
thank you, Chick. I think our time is running out. Did want to take just a few seconds here to see this young rookie pitcher. His name is Melvin Gohard. Melvin, say, you're going to pitch the opening day game, is that right?
I ain't heard no word of that.
Well, I see our time is running out, and good luck to you, Melvin, and good luck to you, Chick.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, and back to Jonathan Winters in Winter's Wonderland.
Time once again on Winter's Wonderland to call in our roving reporter, Forrest Woods, standing by somewhere in the world, ready to bring us a first-hand report on a vital happening, which is at this very moment taking place. Something that possibly could change the living habits of the world. Come in, Forrest Woods, Winter's Wonderland roving reporter.
This is Forrest Woods, Winter's Wonderland roving reporter, somewhere out there in Radioland.
Where are you, Forrest? And what is today's fantastic report?
This is without question Forrest Woods' most challenging report. I can tell you that because I'm Forrest Woods.
We know who you are. Where are you and what are you seeing?
I'm standing here on a heavy populated remote area. An area which is familiar to all Americans and everybody else.
And that area, what would it be?
This is the biggest one I've ever seen. I'd say it's about 900 foot wide and give or take 200 foot. It has orange and black stripes. And it's shaped like a tricycle, although it could pass for a gigantic mushroom.
Well, can't you be just a bit more specific? What is it? What is happening and where are you?
Right now, they seem to be connecting it with something. I can see 200 men on the right pushing at a 45-degree angle. It could only happen in America, Jonathan. Let me put it that way.
Then you are in America somewhere.
The sight of this tremendous thing with that beautiful blue Mediterranean in the background is truly magnificent. Here's the foreman of the job. Let's find out about this from him, in his own words.
I'd say it's the biggest and best one I've ever seen.
I'd say it's blue in color and something else, which I feel's important. I can't help but realize what a tremendous effect it'd have on the American housewife.
We have 10 seconds left, Woody. How about it? Let us in on the secret.
Don't call me Woody. You know I hate to be called Woody. Always joke. Hi, Woody, and how all the little splinters. Why don't you cut that jazz out? Now, as you can see, steam is rising out of it. Look at it!
We can't see. This is radio. And I don't think we care anymore.
It's really big, J.W. It's getting me so excited, I don't think I can take time out to talk right now. Call me tomorrow, when once again Forrest Woods, the Winter Wonderland roving reporter, will be on hand at another location of interest to bring you firsthand...
Well, thank you, Forrest Woods, for another exciting interview somewhere in America. We don't know where you are, whether you're all there, but we'll try to pick you up again sometime tomorrow. And now we're going to end up our day with a little poem. And this poem, my way of thinking, has a real, real warm message. I stood right there and watched the fire. It blazed so warm and crackling. That big wildfire, it felt so good, I almost felt like cackling. I watched the flames light up the room. I felt them warm my face. At times like these, I almost wish I had a fireplace.
Pardon me, sir. Do you have a match? I like that.